The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Do you believe in cause and effect? Do you believe you reap what you sow? And do you believe that you will reap what you sow right where you sow it? Now, we sow good or bad seed right here on earth, and we are reaping right here on earth what we have sown. But we aren't reaping to the fullest degree all we have sown, at least not yet. But doesn't it seem to you that many sow a lot of bad seed, live a very wicked life, and never have to pay? They seem to never give a thought of changing their life. They just seem to go from one evil to the next and get away with whatever they do. Maybe you think you have gotten away and are getting away with whatever you have done and are doing. Maybe you think there's never a payday and never will be. You may think that. Many people think along this line. Could that be the thinking of our nation, of the world? Now, if you are one of those who believe what the Bible teaches about this topic of reaping what you sow, then you realize that no one can evade that law. Now, we may break man-made laws and get away with it, such as running stoplights, stop signs, breaking the speed limit, and so on. But if you make that a habit, you will finally get caught of that as well. Governors and presidents may pardon individuals now and then for certain crimes, but that doesn't mean they have been pardoned by Almighty God. They will still have to humble themselves and repent before God and Jesus Christ, or they will pay with their life in the lake of fire. Now, they may not have to humble themselves and repent in this life, but they will. There is a resurrection, you know, my friends, and everyone is going to be resurrected. And if they don't repent and humble themselves before God and Christ in the second resurrection, well, then there will be the lake of fire waiting for them. There is no way you ever realize that you are a sinner and have sown a lot of bad seed until you allow God to lead you to repentance, because you automatically think that your way is all right. Just as God says in His Word, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Notice this in Proverbs 14 and verse 12 and chapter 16 and verse 25. God repeats this twice. He says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Chapter 16 and verse 25 says the same thing. So the earlier in your life you come to real repentance, that is real heartfelt repentance toward God and Christ, and realize what a sinner you really are, and you repent of sowing those bad seed, of breaking and ignoring God's holy laws, all 10 of them. For that's what sin is. 1 John 3:4 says this, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law, so God says. Now, when you come to realize that you've sown some bad seed and that you're breaking God's law, and you repent of that, the better your life will be, because sometimes in your life you will reap what you have sown. Just as a farmer or gardener reaps what they plant in their land, you see, that is a law. There is always a payday. There is always a harvest. We all would like a good harvest. It's very sad that we aren't taught from childhood by parents, teachers, grandparents, and by example of lifestyles of everyone, what those good seeds are, and what a harvest of peace, health, happiness, contentment, respect, good marriages, respectful and obedient kids, financial stability we would have if we sowed the right seed. God didn't intend man to suffer all the evils that we have to live with today. God gave laws, if followed, that would have guaranteed all the blessings you could ever want. He commanded Adam and Eve to obey Him, to keep His laws and teach and rear their kids accordingly. They refused. They thought the way of Get looked better, so they chose to ignore God's way and teachings. At least they began to reap what they sowed. They reared the first murderer. Cain killed Abel, his brother. That was a bad harvest for our first parents to reap. That isn't all they reaped, of course, but at least that was part of the beginning of them reaping what they had sown. It was the way of Cain that so corrupted the world that God had to bring a worldwide flood to destroy man, except the eight he saved in the ark. But man didn't learn his lesson. Shortly after the flood, man began the way of Cain all over again, the way of get, me first attitude, and we're still on that path today. We haven't learned yet. Our reaping hasn't been severe enough to teach us that our way isn't the best way. But we are getting close to that point. It will come unless we change. But at this point in history of mankind, we think our way is okay. We can and will solve our problems, so we think. We won't have to reap a bad harvest. God gave warning after warning to this world from the time of Adam and Eve, and is still in His Word for anyone to read and heed, if you will, as to what will be the end result of going the way that seems right to man, which is the way of get. And that way has produced all the evils in this world, and will lead to the brink of annihilation if Christ doesn't intervene to save man from himself. Notice what Christ had to say in Matthew 24. Christ warns us of what's going to be the end result of man going his own way. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as had not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Notice what Christ said. He said there would be a time of suffering as had never been since the world began, nor would ever be again. And my friends, that just lies immediately ahead of us. And verse 22 says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. God will allow man to continue to live by the way of get until we learn that our way leads only to a bad harvest, suffering, misery, and death. Now, why would God allow mankind to bring himself to the brink of annihilation? Well, I can tell you, it's because God knows that's the only way that we will learn that our way is what has caused all the problems. Until we learn that we can't live the way that seems right to us and not pay a penalty, this world will finally come to the point that we will be ready to listen to God. That is what few remain alive at the return of Christ. We will finally learn that we do reap what we sow. There will be an attitude adjustment, especially for God's chosen people, Israel, and that includes America and the British people. Notice what God has to say about His people at that time, the very time of the end of Satan's rule here on earth, and the very time that Christ takes over the kingdoms of this world and sets up and establishes His kingdom and His government. Notice in Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 7, for thus says the Eternal, sing with gladness for Jacob. Now Jacob means Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph that became the United States and the British people. And shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. You remember we read in Matthew 24, where God says that all life would be destroyed if Christ didn't return at a certain split second or a certain split minute to save man from himself. Now here God says, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, yes, telling us that we're going to be in a state of captivity, and gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind, the lame, the woman with child, and the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping and with supplication. My friends are telling us that America and the British people and many other peoples of the Israelitish nations are going to be in a repentant attitude at that time. We are going to come to the point that we repent before God and admit that we have broken His laws, we've trampled on His Sabbath and all of His other laws, we have ignored Him, and God says He's going to bring us to repentance. Says they shall come with weeping, that is in a repentant attitude, and with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way. That means God is telling us that He's going to be there and that God is going to have other teachers there that are qualifying now in this life to be there to teach God's way. Satan will be bound and his way will not be prevailing around the earth at that time as it is today. Says, I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water. That is a straight way. Know and understand the truth in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel and Ephraim is my firstborn. Yes, God cares about his chosen people. God cares about all people, for that matter. Verse 10, hear the word of the Eternal, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Yes, God says we're going to go through some tough times, the toughest time that has ever been since man was placed on earth. But God also tells us that he's going to lead us back, and we're going to be in a repentant attitude and be glad to begin to serve God. Verse 11, for the Eternal has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Yes, redeemed him out of captivity, brought him back and began to teach them God's way, and we will be ready to listen. Well, these verses are just describing what our way, the seed we are sowing, will bring on our people. And that's on you and me as well, my friends. And you need to perk up your ear and listen to this and be ready and willing while you have time in this life to change your life to avoid these calamities that's coming. But we will finally learn and then be willing to repent. God makes that very plain. Notice verses 18 through 20. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. Now, God is speaking about the house of Israel here, and he often uses Ephraim as a symbol of the whole house of Israel, because Ephraim was the firstborn of Joseph. And God uses the firstborn here to symbolize the whole house of Israel, and certainly the United States and the British people. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord my God. Yes, God is going to chasten us and bring us to repentance. Notice verse 19. So surely after my turning, I repented, and after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Yes, God says we're going to come back ashamed. God says now, the day that we're living in, speaking of Ephraim and Manasseh, the United States and the British people, as a matter of fact, it would mean for the whole world, that we aren't ashamed of our many sins. God says about Israel that we have the forehead of a harlot, that we aren't ashamed. We peddle our filth and we're proud of it. Verse 20, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Yes, God mixes the bad news and the good news together, that our outcome is going to be all right. But what we have to go through, my friends, isn't going to be pleasant at all. It's going to be the worst time that had ever come on the earth. Notice in Romans 2, verse 4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Yes, God is ready and willing to lead you to repentance if you will allow him to. If you would like tapes or CDs of our programs or the booklets and articles that we offer, just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Today we're offering the articles, Who Do You Worship and Why Does Mankind Suffer? This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, inviting you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program and continue to order our literature and tapes and CDs. Keep listening on this station and on many others.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.